This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley.
Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, where, you know, we want to fill the world with goodness and kindness. So happy May. I'm freezing. I'm wearing a winter sweater and I have the heat on because, I don't know, that's the way life is these days. I've got cannoli, one of my favorite chickens, in a box behind me because she's not feeling good. So send some healing energy out to little cannoli, one of my cutest little chickens in a box with a head of lettuce behind me, three pugs under my feet. And before me on the Zoom screen, I have actor and old friend, John Fanelli. Welcome to Shine On, John.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You have a new endeavor, and I want you to tell everybody about it.
Yes. So right now I am working on Act for Recovery, which is a program that involves musical theater and acting as an approach towards recovery. When I was in recovery myself, in inpatient, I always had a guitar with me. So they allowed me that. And I started working with other patients in there, and we created musicals and shows, and I did some acting teaching. And I realized that there's so many parallels between recovery and the process of acting. Parallels such as honesty, vulnerability, courage, presence, persistence, all of these things that it takes to become a great actor, it also takes in recovery. And I say that from experience as someone who is currently in recovery right now. And it was amazing to me, after teaching acting for almost 30 years, that I never put those two things together until I watched other people who were reluctant to speak. And then all of a sudden, once we put it into this context of performing and taking on characters, they were much more likely to come out under the guise of a character. And then real things happen when you take on a character and you're honest with that character.
This is so rich, and there's so many things I want to dive into, but this is something that's come up time and time again on this show. When we as human beings find a way to do one thing well, whatever that is, we often find that is the recipe for doing so many other things well.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So yeah. I'm so happy you can help us make that correlation today with acting and recovery. First, I have to say, before we jumped on the Zoom this morning, I Googled John Fanelli, actor, tell me something. And you know what I learned?
What's that?
You were Conrad Birdie in Bye Bye Birdie in high school.
Yes. Well, I am the actual High School Musical story from 1989. So way before that ever happened. I auditioned for that show in my cleats. We were state champions in my high school in baseball. And I just walked in as a goof. And the woman gave me the part of Conrad Birdie. I said, I don't want that part. She was like, well, you're going to look pretty silly if you don't learn the lines. And she left me standing there in my cleats. So, yeah, it all happened to me just by accident.
Right. You're looking at Rosie.
Oh, wow. We should reprise these roles.
We should. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
And I still walk around singing so many of the songs from that show, but mostly for me, Everything is Rosie. Remember that one?
Great song. Absolutely. Oh,
do you remember any lines or anything from?
Oh, well, I've directed the show a million times because you know, more than an actor, I am an educator, like first and foremost, and I've taught thousands and thousands of kids about the power of musical theater education. And I never taught any of them because I wanted them to be stars. So many of them became stars and are working actors and musicians and all types of things. But that was never my goal. My goal was to give them confidence and to give them what this idea of, there's something about performing arts, I always say, like the arts are great, arts education. But when you combine that with standing in front of an audience and actually performing in front, I always say, if you can stand in front of 500 people and perform, you could do just about anything. Like there's nothing else that you should fear if you can do that.
Right. But you know what else I think, John Fanelli? Sometimes if you can stand before an audience of 500 and perform, you can also be very good at fooling others and even yourself.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one of the things that we talk about with Act for Recovery. Like, one of the things of an addict, of which I am one, will tell you is that we're good at, you know, pretending, at taking on roles, at manipulating, at, you know, whatever's in front of us, whether it's a judge or our wife or our children, we can put on that act. So what I'm asking them to do now is to use that for good, you know, so as opposed to saying, because acting is not pretending. Acting is not lying. Lying is lying. Acting is actually finding the truth within an invented circumstance. Like, that's how it's defined. It is not about lying, because if you lie as an actor, you will be found out and the audience will not believe what you're trying to tell them. So what we dive into is this idea of putting on masks and taking on roles has another level, a complete, you know, like, honesty. And how do I get inside of a character? How do I figure out how to portray this character honestly to the audience so that they get what they need out of it?
You said something like, acting is finding the truth in a created circumstance?
Under imaginary circumstances.
Acting is finding the truth under imaginary circumstances. That is amazing. And I bet now you've had the privilege to observe addicts / actors finding a truth in themselves. That has to look like alchemy.
It's the most incredible thing. And I've witnessed it with kids so often. Like, I used to refer to it as the light bulb going off, like when they finally go, I get it. Because, you know, in acting and in education, you can't tell somebody when they're going to get it. Like, we want to. And there's no better example of that than recovery. Like, until somebody gets it, they're not going to get it, you know? So to watch someone grapple with these things and then say, oh, that's another way of looking at it. So from being in 6 different rehabs in my life and being in recovery for over 5 years with varying degrees of success, thank God I have a few 24s now, but I've been through relapse and I've been through lying to myself. And that inner monologue that we have is also something we want to control. So that inner monologue that tells people, I can't stand in front of an audience and do that, is the same one that tells us, just go to the liquor store. Nobody's watching. It's the same thing. So if we can control that, and what I love about Act for Recovery, it's actually a practice at controlling that voice, at working with that voice in our head that tells us so many things, right? Why can't we have it tell us, I can be creative, I can be talented, I can overcome this, I can do certain things. And what I love about it is it connects us to humanity. There's only 2 places in the world I've connected in a room, and that is in a recovery room and in a rehearsal room, where you connect on this other level of, like, human connection. And so to bring those 2 things together, people with a common goal, and to watch them understand it and live it and make those discoveries right in front of me is absolutely a joy and absolutely fascinating.
We're talking to John Finelli. His website is impactshows.org. He helps addicts with the therapeutic tool of therapy. I work addict adjacent, I think you would say. Yeah. I work in at Graymore, which is a great big property, the Franciscan Friars and Sisters of the Atonement. And one of their ministries is St. Christopher's Inn, which is a recovery center for men. I have the honor and privilege of having a front row seat to watch these men heal and grow. I shouldn't say front row seat. It's all through my peripheral vision. While I'm on campus, I see these men who volunteer in the dining room or a volunteer at the farm. And you talk about truth in the recovery rooms. To be near people, men, women, anybody, who are actively trying to be better and more whole, to be near that energy, just, I don't know. It humbles me. It fuels me. It makes me very emotional. These, to be near people, we all should be trying to be our best at all times, but to be near people who are so focused on healing, you can feel it. That's what I'm talking about.
I am a brother, Christopher. I spent 3 months there myself, and that's where my addiction took me. It took me to nothing, like, from very successful family, everything you could ever want, destroyed, you know, just took me all the way down to where I had nowhere else to turn, and they took me in. So I love that place, and it has a special place in my heart. And what I like to think of it as is reclaiming our identity, like bringing, and they have a saying in that amazing place above a mirror that says, you are a man worthy of love and respect. And the idea is, by the time you leave, you should be able to look in that mirror and be able to say that to yourself, which, talk about truth, right? So, you know, so this idea of Act for Recovery is a way of reclaiming that identity that we lost. It took me years to get my footing. I felt like I was walking, you know, running in place for so long because I couldn't figure out how to overcome the mistakes that I had made and the things, the choices that I still can't believe I made. I just have to deal with them now, you know. But when you go to such a place that I went, I'll just speak for this addict right here. When you go to that place, it's really hard to come back because you judge it forever. So I believe that this program is something that allows us to identify it, to work on it with a group. And it's not therapy. I'm an acting teacher. I'm not a therapist. So I don't claim to be doing therapy. I'm not asking people to make breakthroughs on stage. I'm asking them to be truthful with another character, which in turn connects us to humanity. And that humanity shows us that we're just human beings and we're just trying to move forward from here. So how do we do that? We do it by living today the best life that we can live. I wouldn't even trade my past anymore. You know, for years, I wished I could just turn it off, pretend like it didn't happen. My past led me right here to where I am today, and I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So if I had to go through that to get here, then that's just my journey. That's just my life. And I'm hopeful that this program can help other people come to that realization that this is a new act. This is a new chapter of your life. This isn't the end. This is the beginning. So where do we go from here?
And didn't Bill W. or someone like that say in the steps or the promises or whatever that you will not regret the past? What's the phrase?
I'm not a big book expert, but yeah, okay. You will not regret the past nor shut the door on it. Something like words like that. That when I first heard that, I was like, that's not even possible. Of course, I'll always regret the past. I'll always want to pretend like it never happened. Like I couldn't see that until you get through it. You know, you have to, there's no way around. There's only through. And hopefully this is just another, there are so many ways and there are so many things that people connect to. I'm not saying Act for Recovery is the way. I'm saying it's another way. And if it can help one person who can say, wow, that really helped me to understand, then it will have served its purpose.
Act for Recovery, and that's the number 4, impactshows.org. We're speaking to John Fanelli. You do this work right now at St. Vincent's Hospital. That's in Westchester?
That's in Harrison, yes.
Harrison, okay. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you so many questions, but I'm going to start with this one, and it's hard. Why did you become an addict?
It's a great question and one that I think about all the time. And the truth is, it's always about, well, for me, it was about trauma. It was about unresolved issues from my youth, things that I dealt with, death at a very young age. You know, I was the youngest of 4, dealing with a lot of other people's pain. So rather than dealing with my own pain, I felt it necessary to just not deal with mine and try to help everybody else. And so I never healed myself. And when I was in my mid-20s, after another horrible death happened, I suffered all of my trauma at once and had a breakdown of sorts, you know, and started with anxiety. So I took anxiety medicine. I went to the doctor. I tried to figure out my anxiety. But the best cure for anxiety for me was having a few drinks at the end of the night, which was fine until it wasn't, you know, and then those drinks just took over. And I do believe that it's in me, like there's something in me, whether that's an allergy, whether that is hereditary, it doesn't really matter. Whatever that gene is, or what, maybe it's just not even a gene, maybe it's something spiritual that's in me. Alcohol and me, we don't mix, you know, and when I take it, I can't control it. I can't handle it. It makes me a different person. And it took me until, you know, 53 years old to be able to understand that fully.
I would just want to pause for a minute when you thank you for sharing that. I want to pause for a minute to all the people who have tears in their eyes right now because they too have not yet healed from childhood trauma. And they too, whether it's in the front pocket or the back pocket, they're carrying, you know, a rock, a big rock that we all manage to live around our rocks. But gosh, if we can get the tools to put them down, there's a different life ahead. So I just want to pause and just hold space and send love to everybody who is many, almost all of us, that have had childhood trauma that you can't even believe that you get to an adult age and you're like, this is still with me, right? It is still with me. And yes, it is still with you, and it may always be with you. And there are tools that can help you navigate and grow. I want to know the secret sauce, John Fanelli. I want to know how theater and recovery are hand in glove. Show me.
Sure, absolutely. So I have developed an acting technique. So when I mentioned acting is actually living truthfully under imaginary circumstances, I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. That's Stella Adler. That's Meisner. That's the greatest acting teachers of all time who came up with that idea, not me. I came up with my own technique called the source acting technique. And it's much more about connecting to what we know as humans and what we can relate to. And I did this because it was a kid's approach. It was a way for me to use the words on the page to relate it to kids and imagery, right? Imagery is so important when we're talking. People can hear what I'm saying. Like, I speak like an actor because I want you to understand what I'm saying. And so imagery is so important. Pitch, pace, and volume. I can slow it down. When we can control how we speak, then we can communicate in a way that maybe we didn't understand. Like, we understand it, we just don't have control of it. So I believe the correlation between acting and certainly recovery, but also a lot of things. Like, I've taught CEOs how to be better CEOs by using acting, certainly how to public speak, but acting is so much more than public speaking that I don't even like equating the two because they are not the same. Like, when you're acting, you're actually making the discoveries in front of your audience or in front of the people that you're speaking to. So that's how I have approached it. So with my source technique, there are like five pillars to the source acting technique that connect you to yourself or to the character or both, that then you are the so you're the source. The author is the person who wrote it. The audience is who you're delivering it to. You are the source. So you're the source also when you are in recovery. We can get all the information from the rehab. We can do all these things. We can read whatever we want. We can watch videos, whatever we need to do. We are still the source. And then it's up to us to then bring that out to the world, in which is our audience, in whatever way we wish to do that. So that's how I've always looked at acting. And again, my experience with kids, just you mentioned something about doing the same thing, doing one thing well, and then being able to do it in multiple different areas in your life. This is all I know how to do, right? All I know how to do is teach acting. So luckily for me, there was a way that I felt I could help people by using my skills and my past. So put those two things together, what I've been through and what I know about acting, and then to be able to help other people with that is just a gift.
Yeah, man. And when you're in it, when you're in the funk and the gunk, and you're an addict or you're in a tough place or whatever it may be, you can't even imagine the sweet, sweet life that's waiting for you on the other side. You can't even imagine it.
Yes.
You're sure you're not worthy of it. You think you're never going to get there. So it's just wonderful, wonderful to be telling this story. This source acting, where the writer is behind you and the audience is in front of you, but you are the source. Oh my God, like, you are the source for your whole dang life. And I would just like to say, that's overwhelming. That's a lot of responsibility, right?
Sure. And I say that all the time. Like, the truth to acting is, you know, the main thing about acting is being truthful with yourself. Who wants to do that?
Nope.
Nobody. I don't care if you're an addict or not an addict. Nobody wants to be truthful with themselves. But when we're faced with addiction and those two options of going back to addiction or facing ourselves, there's only one choice. And that is, you have to face yourself. You have to be courageous enough to go through all of that. And if this acting program can help you see that, then that's what it's there for, because that's a really hard thing to ask anyone to do, is to like really look at what's my part in all of this. You know, I wanted to blame everybody for everything that happened to me in my life. You know, like it's my ex-wife's fault. It's this person's, it's everybody's fault, but my own. People don't understand me. This is how I am. Like all of these things that we tell ourselves to protect ourselves, yeah. You know, so how do we break that down? How do we get through that? And I guess you want to call that therapy? I don't know, but I'm not a therapist. I only know how to do that if I were looking at another character and deconstructing that character, then maybe I can deconstruct myself. And then maybe I can even have some patience for myself and some empathy for myself if I can have empathy for another character.
You totally like reverse engineered healing.
Right.
Right?
I didn't. Acting did. You know, acting. Yeah, I just stumbled across the connection. That's all I did.
Wow. Okay. Holy smokes. I love this topic. It's enlightening and rewarding. And I hope everybody goes to impactshows.org. Now, what does the future hold? What comes next for John Fanelli?
So when you go there, you'll see I've written three music. I've cornered the market in musical theater for recovery, right? Okay. So my first musical I wrote was called Rehab the Musical, which is just a satirical look at a 28-day rehab where I play Dr. Rehab. You can imagine what he's like, right? He's just this all-knowing, but very always with a good heart, but just says ridiculous things. And so one of the songs is called You Only Get It When You Get It. You know, and it's just kind of letting people in. And then there's Rehab Romance, of course. So it's this like very funny look at what happens, but it's also serious. Like we have time in there where we get serious about what happens in there. Then the second one that I wrote was called A Rehab Christmas Carol. So it's taking Christmas Carol, and instead of Ebenezer Scrooge, it's a drug dealer who's faced with an option. Do I go to prison or do I go to rehab? He goes to rehab, and then the ghosts come and visit him, and he realizes he's the problem. Like, it's not my fault. They'll buy those drugs from somebody else. Like, what am I doing wrong? So it's that whole vehicle of Dickens, beautiful classic, only helping people understand addiction. And then I wrote one about St. Christopher's, and that was The Recovery Room, the musical. I happened to be in recovery during COVID, and what an experience that was, you know, and everybody can relate to COVID. So it's about these people who were quarantined in COVID. So there's just 15 of them. They have to spend 30 days together. And this one guy who's the counselor, which I played, he goes in there, even though he's not sick, he wants to help. So he goes in there and helps these people, and, you know, all kinds of things come undone while that happens. So Wow. Yeah, those are the three musicals. And then I have a couple of other things that I'm working on, like the book. I'm writing the Act for Recovery book, and just whatever I can do to get the message out. But what I really want to do is get a group together of like-minded creative people, and they don't have to be professionals, you know, just someone who's interested in the arts, who wants to get involved with this. I call it a movement more than just like, that's what it is, like where we can get together and bring it into, because I'm all about kids and education. I consider myself an educator first. How do we turn this into prevention as well? How do we then take these musicals and turn them into where we can bring it to places where kids are on the edge of going there? Right. How do we stop that? How do we show them in a very real way that this is dangerous? Like, I wish someone could have showed me that. I don't know that they could have. And I don't even know that it's possible, but it's certainly worth a try, you know?
It's certainly worth a try.
Yeah.
It's certainly worth a try. John Fanelli, Act for Recovery and impactshows.org. I didn't realize that you wrote a musical about St. Christopher's Inn. I think they'd be very happy to hear about this musical.
They will. The Holy Mountain. It's an amazing place.
The Holy Mountain. And yeah. It's funny. I have a very, very good friend who spent several months at St. Christopher's Inn, and he told me about that phrase over the mirror, I am a man worthy of love and respect. Love and respect. Is it?
That's correct.
Yeah. And I think everybody should put that over their mirror somewhere, because there are parts of us, you know, if you're in a human vehicle and you've lived a little while, there are parts of us, many of us, that don't feel like we're worthy every day of love and respect. But you know what? Darn it, we are. We certainly are. I think I'll get you up to the mountain to perform one or two or three of these shows. What do you think?
Let's do it. And hopefully I can do a program there too. I have a 12-week workshop that I bring into places like St. Vincent's and St. Christopher's, where at the end, the clients are performing. Then they do either monologues or songs or whatever they can contribute after going through the source technique process. So, and then they put up a show. It's pretty great.
Amazing. How can people help you?
They can help just by getting involved, by reaching out, by helping me to get the word out. I have paperwork into OASIS, which is the governing body of all the, you know, in charge of everything in New York State recovery related. So they have grants, they have opportunities. I'd like to train an army of teachers to take this into as many places as we can, develop these musicals and hire people who are in recovery to be in the musicals and bring them to places so that people can see them and be inspired by them.
You got to give it away to keep it. Keep giving it away, John Finelli. I love talking to you. Let's do it again soon.
Can't wait. Thank you so much for having me and for helping me get the word out. I really appreciate it.
Shine on.